www.wadk.com/mv.
Listen live online at wadk.com. It's the Open Forum on 1540 WADK. Call 846-1028, 846-1028. Now, the Open Forum on 1540 WADK.
And good afternoon. Welcome to the Open Forum. My name is Frank Prysant. Here we are on a day when the stock market is taking a bit of a dive. We have all these politicians telling us what the economy looks like. I figured we ought to go to Len Lodaro, the economist at the University of Rhode Island, and find out what's really happening with the economy. How are you, Len?
Doing okay. Hanging in there.
All right. Just wanted to, first of all, maybe bring us up to date on your latest index. You put out an index every month. You measure a number of different areas of the Rhode Island economy. And how are we doing?
Mm-hmm. We're slipping, unfortunately. What happened for us, we started out fairly strong in the beginning of the year, but we've been going down the last 4 months. So that doesn't mean we're in a recession or anything like that, but it means our rate of growth is sliding in the sense that we don't have as many legs to stand on as the foundation of our momentum going forward. We're still hanging in there. I think it's pretty obvious to say that Rhode Island is doing the best it has in a long time, but our momentum is slipping, and there still are things we didn't really replicate from the last peak, and so there are some things that are left undone, and I hope we eventually catch up with those, but that's going to be a tough call.
What was the number for this this past month? Or
the official number for last month was 75, and I'm doing the report just before I got on the phone. That's coming out Monday. I'll give you a hint. It slipped one.
Okay.
So, you know, one indicator. So it's down a little bit. You know, still positive. We're still expanding. But again, as far as cyclical momentum goes, the rate of increase is deteriorating somewhat. And it has really gone down for the last several months. And ironically, that what I was seeing before we got the most recent reports for the second quarter, I'd been mentioning the fact that in 2017, we did really, really well in a lot of 50-state comparisons. And that's because when people do that stuff, they never look at the comparison to what you're looking at. In 2016, two of the four quarters, Rhode Island had highly negative growth, which reduced the base. So we, you know, it wasn't hard to beat a near recession in 2017. We got good numbers. Now the sugar high is wearing off. We got the personal income for the second quarter, and our rank was back to 49. And what my indicator is showing that we're slowing down again now that the sugar high of that, you know, depressed levels is wearing off. So it's going to be interesting going forward. But we're largely in the hands of Massachusetts and the U.S. economy. And I really do think there's a lot of compelling evidence that the national economy's rate of growth is slowing as well.
Well, certainly the stock market is saying something today. And I guess there's some things globally that are not good indicators.
There's a whole bunch. The list is long and growing.
So,
yeah, I mean, there's things like that. You know, what you have is two things to keep an eye on, and that's really monetary tightening and, you know, raising interest rates. They're doing it gradually, but apparently with the new Fed chief, Powell, he's kind of saying, well, you know, forget the slow and gradual. We're going to probably go a lot higher than we thought, and that's why you saw a pop in interest rates. And the last few days, mortgage rates jumped above 5%. That's a problem because home prices were high to start with, and with all the tariffs, lumber, aluminum, steel, all these other items for home building, it's going to mean that a lot of companies just can't build low-end houses unless they cut incredible corners. So housing and automobiles are losing momentum. You know, that's not a good situation because as the national economy goes, we really go. And I think that's part of what we're reflecting here. If the national economy hiccups, we kind of stumble and fall.
You've always characterized Rhode Island's economy as following the national economy. And how much do our local leaders really have influence over the economy? Or is it just either cyclical here or is it just we follow? Is there not a whole lot we can do to be able to affect our position?
Well, see, because they've done so very little. I mean, you look at it, we spend 120-plus days debating should we make a really good deal to the Paw Sox or not. And that's just a symbol of how incompetent the leadership of the state is. Were we preparing for the next recession? No, they've done nothing. Are we doing meaningful things other than, you know, little photo ops about making ourselves more resilient and able to benefit more from upturns? No. So we remain with a really bizarre asymmetry. We benefit less than the national economy going up. We're hurt more than the economy going down. And that hasn't changed. And even if we signed the pause socks, it wouldn't have been any different. We need leadership.
I look at that pause socks deal as I don't know, maybe I'm deaf, but I don't hear anybody talking about what they're going to do now to try and redevelop that community, or what they're going to do with that stadium.
Pawtucket was in trouble whether they got that deal or not. Now, allegedly, there were all these mystery deals going to come out of the woodwork for a stadium that's only open about 4 or 5 months a year. I never believed any of that. So the real issue here, how do we really prop up Pawtucket? Because they have some issues. That was a durable goods producing city, a wonderful place, but, you know, they've gotten hit. They've never really replaced it. And the Paw Sox were not the answer, let's face it. You know, and that's just a symptom of the whole state, that we do not have a competitive tax and business climate. And every survey picks that up. But what depresses me is all of them have different criteria, and we do badly based on just about any criteria. Our mediocrity is incredibly robust.
I guess here's a convoluted thought, and that is that the loss of the Paw Sox is not a negative, but maybe a positive, in that it forces people in Pawtucket to really think about some kind of a long-term vision relative to the city's economy and maybe utilizing that river a whole lot differently than it is right now places will. Newport was a great example of the resilience after the loss of the America's Cup. This city came back and used its natural resources here to be able to develop into in one of the leading vacation spots in the country. And I'm not saying Pawtucket is going to become that, but certainly they have some things they can do on the riverside that might prop up and make it an exciting city.
It's an opportunity. Okay, you lost the Paw Sox. We were never going to make a deal anywhere near what Worcester did. And, you know, I kind of predict instead of calling them the Woo Stocks, when they really look at the economics of that deal, the fact that here they had been declining enrollment for over a decade, I think they're going to call them the Woe Sox. Because they really made a sucker deal. Good luck to them. You know, it's sad they're going, but, you know, for that kind of money, they can have them. Because we have to be very careful with how much debt we start putting out there, especially as interest rates rise, because with the incredible neglect of our school infrastructure, K-12, what's our solution? You know, we never really put enough money away, so now charge it. $250 million debt. And if we need more, charge that. What are we doing to make sure that the repaired places don't deteriorate the way the old ones do? I doubt we're putting enough away. That's our state's culture.
Len, we've got to go to our break a little bit. My last thought on the Woe Sox, if you will. Woe Sox, I think, is correct.
I think Woe when they read the fine print, yeah.
Look at the history of professional sports teams in Worcester, and for the most part, they are unsuccessful. What's this, a 30-year deal?
I don't know. It doesn't matter.
Yeah,
you know?
But it's you know, they go in with a great deal of fanfare, and let's see what happens in 5 years. With that, we're going to go to our break. When we come back, I want to test a little bit what our candidates are saying about our economy, and we'll come back in a couple of minutes.
Okay.
Established in 1979, O'Brien's Pub has always been one of Newport's most popular gathering places. O'Brien's Pub offers several widescreen TVs for all your sporting pleasure. During the summer, O'Brien's outdoor patio seats more than 200 and has an extensive food menu. Their family-friendly atmosphere includes a playfish fountain to entertain children while caretakers relax. O'Brien's also caters to your friendly, well-behaved furry friend with a puppy delight menu, doggy treats, and a fresh water bowl. For those rehearsal dinner parties or after-wedding parties, the inside pub accommodates up to 140 guests and is a perfect casual choice. Other notable highlights include the pool table, complimentary parking, weekly food specials, entertainment, plus a wide selection of draft beers featuring several local craft beers. O'Brien's Pub, 501 Thames Street, Newport, the ideal location for all your dining, social, and party planning needs. Come pick your pumpkins at Quonset View Farm in Portsmouth for the fun of it, for the family fun of it. Quonset View Farm has all sizes of pumpkins, along with gourds, winter squash, plus bales of straw and corn stalks. Quonset View Farm is open Saturdays and Sundays from 9 to 5:30, weekdays 2:30 to 5:30. Pumpkins and more. Come and get them at Quonset View Farm. Look for the signs on East and West Main Roads that lead to Middle Road and Quonset View Farm.
WADK and Corrigan Financial present another exciting season of high school and college football. Bob Angel and Jim Ascoli bring you the play-by-play for local high school contests as well as Salve Regina University. Catch the action weekends on WADK and WADK.com. Brought to you by
O'Brien's Pub, Newport Propane, West Main Pizza, VD Mercedes-Benz and VD Volvo Cars of Tiverton, Newport Insurance Agency, Midtown Oyster Bar, A1 Roofing and Construction, The Brick Alley Pub and Restaurant, Clements Marketplace, Fieldstones in Portsmouth and Atlantic Grill in Middletown, Salve Regina University, and by Corrigan Financial.
The Newport County Chamber of Commerce encourages you to think local, whether you are looking for your favorite restaurant, a local store with all the best brands, your neighborhood florist, or a place to dock your boat. The Newport Chamber's directory has all of those and more. Make the Chamber directory your go-to search engine for business names, locations, and phone numbers. Click on ebook directory at newportchamber.com for over 1,100 local business listings throughout Newport County.
Get home repair and home improvement tips. Tune in to AM 1540 WADK weekday mornings at 8:45 to On the House with the Carey Brothers. Brought to you by Riverhead Building Supply with locations in Middletown and North Kingstown.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Stop by Island Wine and Spirits on your way home today for wine, spirits, and beer. 289 Broadway at the corner of Bliss Road.
We play by our own rules.
Talk of the town, Bruce Newberry.
How cool is that?
There's my buddy Bruce.
Weekday mornings from 9 to noon on 1540 WADK.
And welcome back to Open Forum. My name is Frank Presence. With me today is Len Lodero. He is an economist at the University of Rhode Island. So, Len, this is what I posted. Len, are you with me? We're gonna try to get Len back, but I'm gonna let me throw on a little bit of music for a moment, and we will come back momentarily. Len, you with me? Hello? He must have hung up or must have. Hi, Len. Somehow. All right. I'm gonna put you on hold and bring you right back up. Thank you. And so we had difficulty with the connection, but we're back on with Len Lodero. You are with me, right, Len?
Yep.
Excellent. So let me read you what I put up as a Facebook post in that I had today. I wrote, listen to Governor Gina Raimondo, and you'll be convinced that Rhode Island's economy is strong, with wages growing faster than any other state. Listen to her Republican challenger, Cranston Mayor Alan Fung, and you'll believe that Rhode Island is the worst state in which to do business. Ask Joe Trillo, an independent candidate for governor, who was a Republican state representative for a decade, and he'll agree the economy is growing, but credits it all to President Trump, for whom he was campaign co-chair in Rhode Island in 2016. What to believe, who to believe. Any answers to that?
None of the above.
That's what How's that? Say.
Well, I mean, it's just, you know, I go crazy at those commercials. It's great for, you know, I'm teaching econometrics again this semester, so it's great to really present some of this. You know, a lot of that ranking we got for the third quarter of 2017, the really good ranking, that was because we had a near recession in 2016, and we were essentially stuck at 2015 levels for almost 2 years. So we got these pops in 2017, really good survey results. What really upsets me, and I'm not trying to be political, but when the subsequent survey came out, our wage growth was not number one, it was number seven, and they never changed that. And I really have a philosophical issue with what they did. They changed our ranking, which went from 9 to 7 or whatever it is, and then they didn't change the wage growth. I really have a problem with that philosophically.
And was that, who was responsible for that change?
Well, I mean, the group that did that 50-state survey, did a revised one. I tweeted about it and said, okay, here's the new one. And so they changed the overall ranking, but they left the wage one at the old level, not the new one. And I just think that, you know, that I really have a problem with that. You know, that's just not honest.
So we take a look at Nation's Business, Fortune, Wallet, and go through a ton of different places that measure various elements of the economy. And none of them agree. Is there one that is a reliable source other than your index?
Of course. Yeah. Well, I mean, what do you mean in what sense they don't agree?
Well, they all seem to. Rhode Island and one might be rated number three in something. It might be in the same category, and another one might be rated number 25. But they seem to all.
Oh, I see. You mean for the components within their survey?
Correct.
Oh yeah, and that's the problem. See, because what Rhode Island suffers from, and I remember having this discussion decades ago with Gary Sass, and he was absolutely right about this, is that Rhode Island isn't exceptional in anything. We're mediocre or bad in everything, so we get the horrible rankings. If we were just really good in one or two, you'd see our rankings really jump significantly. So that's the work we have to do. But remember, those 50-state surveys are essentially exercises in adding apples and oranges. They're not correlated with outcomes. They're purely arbitrary. So I really don't pay attention, but they know that they can manufacture these things quickly and costlessly. They're going to get a lot of media play, and people are naive enough to think that these actually mean something.
So what are we looking forward to when we go out and say over the next year in Rhode Island? Do we expect our economy to continue to grow in spite of whoever is in the governorship, or are we expecting us to decline?
Well, I see us continuing to slow. Remember that we are officially, you know, I had to make up a term, FILO, first in, last out of national weakness. And so the consensus nationally, and it's hard to gauge this, but probably the U.S. will go into recession if they're going to 2020, which means we have about a year less. So in all likelihood, 2019 could be when we really fall down and go negative. And my indicator might be picking up the early signs of that, although it's still a little bit too early to tell. So remember also, though, you know, how much will the governor do? People keep forgetting the governor of Rhode Island is only the third most powerful person.
Exactly.
It's really the legislature. And people let them get away with murder, and then those surveys come out, and they blame everything on the governor. I mean, you know, the media in the state, no offense to anybody, collectively, they're very capable people, collectively they have the learning curve of a goldfish. You know, and it's got to stop, but it doesn't. So, it's you know, I think of it as a magnificent scam. The legislature gets away with murder.
So here's something that I thought was really interesting when I looked at today's paper, which kind of reinforces exactly what you say. The Journal had done a survey, political survey, along with ABC6 Public Radio, and it was done by the University of New Hampshire Survey Center. So one of the things that I thought was most incredible, which surprised me, none of the results surprised me, except when I got to this poll about Nicholas Mattiello, Speaker of the House.
Mm-hmm.
Do Rhode Islanders approve or disapprove of the way Nicholas Mattiello is handling the job as Rhode Island House Speaker? Strongly approve, 4%. Somewhat approve, 17%. Somewhat disapprove, 14%. Strongly disapprove, 24%. Not sure, 37%. That
tells you a lot, doesn't it? The most powerful way. Anyway, but you know, I hate to say it. If you took a lot of those survey, you know, questionnaires and asked them about the legislature in general or specific people, you'd probably get identical answers as far as categories. And that's really unfortunate. But the fact that so many people really aren't sure tells you a great deal. Because again, and that's the perfect scam for the legislature. Because that way, the governor takes all the blame, and so the legislature, well, they're just trying to do their best. But they're the ones who run the state, and our mediocrity is directly attributable to them. Almost entirely, not all, though, but mostly.
So the governor certainly has some responsibility. Governor
sure.
develops or creates our Commerce Department or Economic Development Corporation, whatever you want mm-hmm. to call it, depends on the
whatever
regime.
It is this year.
Next year it may become something else.
But
and I guess they at least establish some sort of a policy in terms of how they're going to approach economic development. So we have a ton of tax incentives that we give away. I don't know if that's the right mm-hmm. approach or if that's, I think that's typical across the country.
It is, but remember, we have a very different tax and cost structure than the rest of the country, too. And, you know, some of the things we're known for are not exactly flattering, such as fees and regulations and all kinds of other fun stuff. So, you know, what you're really doing there, to some extent, anywhere, is treating symptoms and not the problem. And so we really need to get at what it would take for businesses to want to come here for very little incentive, or, you know, certainly a lot less than what we're doing now. But the problem is, and, you know, every time I'm on with you, I mention the same thing, we don't have in-house due diligence. So Commerce Corporation cleverly hires outside consultants, and we all know outside consultants always agree with the opinions of the people who are paying them, so they probably never had a no on anything. But we really don't know how beneficial those things are because we don't have meaningful in-house due diligence that's based on people who really know this state and how it works and who don't assume that we work like every other state. So, you know, again, but what do you get? And that's a beautiful thing for the people who run the state. You get the photo ops, even if it's a total dud or a dog, you got the photo op and nobody's going to know about it till later. We've had some of these blow up in our face where they shut down and left and everything like that, but oh well, no big deal. We got the photo op. And that's part of the problem. Everything's so driven by opinion and appearance. What we really have a deficit in is substance.
Do you drill down and look at various communities? We've got Mayor Fung saying that he's done that Cranston is having such an economic revival and there are all these jobs coming into Cranston. Do you get a chance to look at that, or is that on too small a scale?
Yeah, I do more, you know, statewide level and things. But the point is that if the overall state's doing well, it's because the subsectors, the parts of the economy, you know, in the state's economy and the cities and towns are doing well. So that's going to happen, you know, to some extent. Would it happen anyway? To some extent. How much of a difference does a mayor make? Well, that's the issue. And, again, there's no substance to this campaign. It's all image. It's all silliness. It's all correlation is all of a sudden causation. And I personally don't pay any attention to it whatsoever. It's just meaningless. Where's their vision for what we're going to do to isolate ourselves, or just insulate ourselves, I should say, against the next recession? It's nowhere in those debates. They're calling each other names or saying stuff that they did or didn't do, you know, and it just, it's ridiculous. This is so upsetting how bad this campaign is.
Yeah, I watched the senatorial debate last night, and it was exactly that. It's not even good theater. We've got to go to a break, but I'll leave you with this quote before we go to the break. I forget who said it, but they described a politician as someone who is running for re-election and a statesman who is running to improve the next generation.
And, absolutely.
And we're going to go to a break. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Humphreys Building Supply, 1540 WADK, and the all-new Mix 99.3 present the Newport County Chamber of Commerce Business of the Week.
The HILB Group of New England offers a passion for service and creative problem solving for complex challenges facing today's business owners in this competitive environment. Contact one of the members of their professional team by going to HILBGroupNE.com today.
Think, be, and support local. Start with this Business of the Week.
Are you tired of leaky, drafty steel basement bulkhead doors? Well, it's time to take a look at Clam Door. It's unlike anything you've seen before. Clam Door is one-third the weight and is built here in Rhode Island by master boat builders who know how to build to weather any storm. Clam Door is owned and marketed by a reputable, well-known area business, Humphreys Building Supply. Scott Humphrey invites you to experience his company's real passion for products built right. Go to clamdoor.com for more information.
Hi, this is Jacob from Superior Comfort. I've been the owner and operator of this company since 2005. We are a heating and air conditioning contractor. We want to provide you the best solutions that we can possibly offer for your home or business. I've been actually in this business since I was 13 years old. I was told I needed a job by my mother, and she threw me in a truck with my uncle. So I actually feel like I've had a lifetime in this industry. Superior Comfort takes a lot of my personal values into heart. Customer satisfaction for me is job one. We want all our customers to be 100% satisfied with anything we do. Our goal is to provide quality products, quality installations, knowledgeable service and installation technicians at your home so that you can feel comfortable that we've given you the right solution for your needs. We are a trained TCS dealer. What that means to you as a consumer is we have to maintain over a 90% approval rating with our customer base in order to keep that status. We are actually one of two in the state of Rhode Island. Our website is superiorcomfortinc.com. Phone number 401-396-9171.
Owning a small business means I'm passionate about what I do. I work hard for my money, and I know how important it is to find the right partners. That's why I trust Nationwide Insurance with my business's insurance needs.
Go to dfdwyer.com for free quotes and more information. Voted best of Newport 8 years in a row with two locations in Jamestown and Newport. And a no surprises motto, Dwyer Insurance will always do what's best for their clients. Dwyer Insurance.
Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio.
Banking can be pretty much the same everywhere, but what's not the same at every financial institution is the people. And at People's Credit Union, the people who work there are in the business of helping the people who bank there. People's Credit Union takes pride in getting to know you and offering financial solutions that can really help. People's Credit Union has great low rates on home, personal, auto loans, and they can even refinance your existing loans. Why not stop in a branch to say hi or visit online today at peoplescu.com? People's Credit Union. You belong here.
Member NCUA, Equal Housing Lender.
People's Credit Union is proud to share the spotlight with these fine area businesses.
This is Doug from Cabinet Revival, Newport County's premier cabinet refinishing specialist. Using a special formulated lacquer system will revive your kitchen cabinets, changing them from old and tired to new and stylish. To learn more, go to CabinetRevivalRI.com.
Visit Rough Point, the Newport estate of Doris Duke. Tour the art-filled mansion, enjoy panoramic ocean views, see this year's exhibitions, and attend special events from garden talks to music. Open Tuesdays to Sundays and Wednesday evenings 5 to 7. More at NewportRestoration.org.
WADK gives you the information you need.
If you're not informed, then you're out of the loop.
On air and online.
And if you're out of the loop, you have no idea what's going on.
WADK.com.
And welcome back to Open Forum. My name is Frank Prizes. With us is Len Ladero, economist at the University of Rhode Island. Len, I want to just look nationally for a moment at the tax cuts. So I played a little game with myself. I said, what were gas prices before Donald Trump came into office? And what are they now? So it's about a buck more per gallon today than it was when he went in office. And then I said, what does the average car drive in a year? They said 12,000 miles. And what is the average gas mile? So I put all that together. And so people are paying roughly $500, $600 more a year for gasoline than when Donald Trump came into office. Interest rates are rising. Other costs will rise as a result of some of these tariffs, certainly the cost of automobiles. Is this just a game of smoke and mirrors? You with me, Len? I think we lost him one more time. And all right. So I think, you know what? I think we're just going to, this is the second time we've lost him. So I think we're going to try to wait and maybe pick him up in the next next segment. Okay, so we'll try to catch up with him in a little while, maybe in the last 15 minutes or so. I'm not sure what's happening with losing the phone, but I guess some of the things I do want to talk to him about and want to try to run by him and see if we have time to do that. I want to talk about the tax cuts and what really the net is on that. So the average person saw some relief when it came to taxes, but then on the other hand, are people actually looking at this with a full vision to see as a result of all of this, how much is it costing us? How much more is it costing us? As Len noted, the Fed now is raising interest rates at a quicker level. I was surprised to hear him say that mortgage rates now are at plus 5%. That seems to be a pretty significant increase. We see that happening. Gasoline prices are up by a buck, and they're expected to go even higher. We're paying, we're approaching $3. In fact, there are some places in Rhode Island that are over $3, $3 a gallon now. With the tariffs, we're coming to learn that, in fact, the price of automobiles, will probably rise. And there will be other increases along the way. So did the average person gain anything from the tax cuts, or is this just smoke and mirrors? That in fact, what's happening is that those oil industries that are these very wealthy people are large stockholders in are now benefiting from increases in prices. And are we further, feeding the dragon here by creating all of this stuff and increasing prices. I also wanted to talk to Len. I wanted to talk about whether the loss of Nordstrom at the mall, at Providence Place Mall, replaced by what appears to be more of an Ann and Hope type of retailer, whether that's some kind of a statement about Rhode Island and not necessarily our ability, but maybe our appetite to purchase things that are on a higher level. I wanted to talk to him also about, we talk about creating a niche industry in Rhode Island. What will that niche industry be? Will it be technology? Will it be healthcare? What's it going to be as we look down the road? And I want to also ask him whether or not we are over-reliant in Rhode Island on tourism. And so those are some areas I wanted to talk about. And I also had an opportunity to talk about healthcare a little bit with some people over at South County Health, William. And we're going to share some of that interview next week. And looking at, the CEO there has just this incredible vision of healthcare and a good understanding of where costs are. Much of it looking at it on an administrative level where we're spending so much money on administrative. Took an example of one large healthcare network, if you will, that have some like 500 people in an accounts receivable area, maybe an exaggeration as compared to another that's able to get away with two or three, that we have so much bureaucracy when it comes to our insurance. And when you take a look at all of that, the result is a very high cost healthcare system. And one that, actually is difficult because we take money away from other programs, money that we could put into things like affordable housing and where people, are not going to be are not going to have to make choices between housing costs and healthcare costs and those kinds of things. So it will be, you know, I wanted to run that by Len also to kind of get his take on that. But it's interesting, you know, we as he notes that we are I'm looking here at Alan Fung's plan, his I see so much rhetoric when it comes to his Alan's economic plan. Alan is sick of seeing Rhode Island ranked as the worst possible state to live in and the worst state to do business. As governor, Alan will roll up his sleeves and get our economy back on track by working to make Rhode Island the land of startups and small businesses and an attractive place for companies to expand. For starters, he's going to lower taxes. In Alan's first term, he wants to responsibly lower the sales tax each year to end up at 5% or lowest in New England outside of New Hampshire, which doesn't have any. He wants to keep Rhode Islanders shopping in Rhode Island so that we can keep jobs and local business here. But then the question is, where do you make up the revenue? And so you go through Trillo's plan. You go through everybody. It seems everybody who runs for office seems to believe that they can simply cut taxes, and that's going to be the solution. Here's Gina Raimondo. Under Gina's leadership, Rhode Island has gone from number 49 to number one in the nation for rising wages. Well, we talked to Len about that and how a lot of these numbers are skewed because many of them are based on 2016 to 2017, where we in 2016 had some very difficult quarters. Measure against that, any growth would look really, really good. She says there are more people working than at any time in the past 10 years, and our unemployment numbers are on a par with the national average. They were actually the highest. It's absolutely correct that they were some of the highest in the nation when she took office. But much of what happens with unemployment is a result of the national economy. Small businesses is the re-engine of our economy. Gina is committed to supporting Rhode Island businesses. That's why we've made significant investment to help small businesses and local manufacturers. And she said in the last 2 years, we have recruited or expanded 24 companies that would have gone somewhere else, but today are on track to hire more than 2,000 Rhode Islanders at an average salary of more than $70,000. One of the things that I often found interesting was, you know, for every company that we save, how many are we actually losing? And when we give out these tax incentives, what is it that we're gaining? So one of them was A.T. Cross that moved. That was moving from Lincoln to Providence, and I have to go and refresh my memory a little bit about what happened with that. I tend to think that may have been a company that was bought by some other entity. We're going to go and take our break a little bit early. Try to get Len back on the phone for the last segment, and we'll be back in a couple of minutes.
As baby boomers age, there are so many potential issues and real concerns.
What's the best housing solution for our elderly?
Will we have enough money saved for retirement?
How do we maintain optimal health?
What sort of estate planning should we be doing?
How do we choose the best Medicare plan?
AM 1540 WADK wants to help. On the first and third Friday of each month from noon to 1, experts from a variety of fields gather to discuss all these issues and more relative to anyone 55 or over with aging parents on Elder Affairs. Tune in live to hear this expert advice or go to WADK.com for podcasts of the program under the Elder Affairs tab.
Brought to you by Blenheim Newport, law offices of Silva, Thomas, Martland, and Offenberg, Chris Offenberg, Elder Law, All About Home Care, Carol Miller of Reverse Mortgage Funding, and Village House Nursing and Rehabilitation Center.
Attention, boomers and seniors, this one's for you. The Providence Journal presents the Life Expo Saturday, October 20th from 10 to 4 p.m. at Twin River Casino. At the expo will be exhibitions from local businesses, live entertainment, seminars, bingo, giveaways, and a special appearance by dance superstar Derek Huff. Admission is free. Don't miss the Life Expo, sponsored by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Rhode Island on October 20th. Learn more at providencejournal.com/lifeexpo.
Hi,
Hi, I'm Lisa.
And I'm Gail. We're co-owners of Gill's Appliances with locations in Bristol and Middletown. Shop Gill's Columbus Day Sale going on from September 26th through October 10th and enjoy amazing savings in-store and online on ranges and refrigerators, washers and dryers, and all your appliance needs.
Whether you're planning a home renovation or new construction, the fall is a great time to get started. Visit us at 397 Medicom Avenue in Bristol, 926 Aquidneck Avenue in Middletown, or online at gillsappliances.com.
Come see the difference Gill's makes.
From social media to work and school, it's hard to know what and who you can trust these days. Fact is, it's never been easy. That's why over 300 years ago, Freemasonry was established. Masons are people who speak plainly, act fairly, and can always be trusted because that's the way they live. If you'd like to discover the Masons in your town, come to our free statewide open house Saturday, October 20th at 222 Taunton Avenue, East Providence from 10 to 4 p.m. or ask a Mason at rimasons.org.
Look for Midtown Oyster Bar at the Bowens Wharf Seafood Festival this Saturday and Sunday, October 13th and 14th. And when you find them, make sure you try Midtown's lobster mac and cheese or their Bermuda fish chowder. Midtown Oyster Bar proudly participates in Newport Restaurant Week, November 2nd through the 11th, as they offer two-course lunches for $20 and three-course dinners for $35. For the best in Newport waterfront dining, you can't go wrong at Midtown Oyster Bar. 345 Thames. Call 619-4100.
If you're tired of pushy salespeople and huge stores where every piece of furniture looks the same, then you're not shopping in the right place. Day in and day out for the past 76 years, Ben's Furniture has been offering a very different shopping experience to their loyal customers by offering great selections, honest values, and just the right amount of friendly service. Whether you're looking for a new sofa, a bedroom set, something for the TV, or just a comfortable chair, you owe it to yourself to stop in and see what's right here in your own backyard. Year after year, Ben's has won the Best of Newport Awards for their unique collection of home furnishings and accessories that are styled just right for this area. Stop in, take a look, and see why Ben's has become everyone's favorite spot for finding just about everything you could need for your home. And take advantage of substantial store-wide savings right now. Ben's Furniture, 166 Thames Street, downtown Newport. Free parking right behind the store.
1540 WADK is online at WADK.com. Now giving you the information you need day and night at WADK.com.
And welcome back to the last segment of Open Forum. My name is Frank Presence, and hopefully Len Ladera is with us. You on the other end, Len? Hello, Len. I don't know what's happening. Somebody's phone is bugging out here, and we've had some phone problems either on Len's end or on our end. Unfortunately, I was hopeful we'd catch him back for the last segment. We'll just have to catch up with him on some other day. Try one more time. Len, you with us?
I'm here. You can hear me?
Outstanding. Okay.
There we go. We got it. 12th try. We got it.
12th try, yeah. I know. These phones are wonderful, right? I want to catch a couple of things as we wound down here a little bit.
Okay.
We talk often about Rhode Island having or being a niche or looking for some kind of a niche industry. Have we ever found that?
Mm-hmm. Well, we have the basis for it. I mean, biotechnology would be something. There's a number of things we could do, but we kind of flail at a lot of them, and we don't really make a major commitment to any one thing. Now, you could argue that's okay. You kind of spread the net somewhat wide, but it hasn't been happening now that we spread it, you know, more narrowly for quite a while. You've got to commit sooner or later. It would have been nice when the economy was really doing well to get established and branch out. So here we are. You know, we have something. We're doing a little of this. We're doing that. We certainly have the potential to be doing much, much better. But, you know, it was much more important. We spent all those days trying to get the Paw Sox to sign with us.
Are we over-reliant on tourism as for our economy?
Well, you know, years ago I kind of argued that back then tourism was ranked the third most important industry in the state. And I saluted tourism. They've done a great job. The fact that tourism is so important and it's ahead of industries that are growth-oriented really shows the abysmal failure of leadership going back decades of this state.
But it's hard to turn back the clock now. I mean, tourism just continues to grow and is from one end of the state to the other is incredibly significant.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a zero-sum game. I mean, they can continue to grow, and they should. Certainly, that's tied to how well the economy is doing nationally in Rhode Island. But we need to make other things much, much more prominent so that while tourism matters and is expanding, it's not as dominant of a part of our economy.
You know, I'm going to kind of jump around a little bit because there are a few things I wanted to get in. The loss of Nordstrom and replaced by an Ann and Hope type store, is that make any statement about Rhode Island, its economy, or the state's appetite to purchase high end goods?
I don't think so, because there's still a lot of income inequality nationally and in Rhode Island, and I just think it was time for them. They weren't doing that well here. We're getting what's probably a better fit to Rhode Island at the present time with that company coming in, largely based out of Pennsylvania. So I wouldn't make too much of it. If Nordstrom was leaving and we didn't have a replacement, that would say a lot more. So, no, this is just a transition, and retailing is in so many transitions between the internet and brick and mortar and all of that. This is just a part of it, and we came out of this one fairly well. So, you know, it's like a pilot says, any landing you can walk away from is a good one. I guess we're kind of in that situation.
Yeah, I was surprised after hearing the announcement that they already had somebody in place, although they won't come in for a number of months, but they still had somebody in place to take over that space, which is a pretty significant space.
Yeah, and that's the big difference. The fact that they had someone that is not just going empty. If it just went empty, then there's something going on. Then you really need to look under the hood and see what's going on. I don't think we really need to do that. Retail sales have really held up reasonably well, but those are also cyclical. And in Rhode Island, part of our retail strength is the fact that we rent a lot of Rhode Islanders with high skills to Connecticut, Massachusetts. When they come back here at night, they bring their money with them, and so it pumps up retail sales.
Bond issues coming up. We have three bond issues, $250 million for the for repair and replacement of some of our schools.
That's just the first of several coming, by the way, yeah.
Yeah, I knew at least the first of two, but even that doesn't come close. I think it was like $600 million to bring schools up to a safe level and a couple billion to bring them up to standard.
Yep. If we could only bring the academic performance up to standard, that would be nice, you know, because that's really an issue. And, you know, the K through 12 quality here overall is not anywhere near it where it needs to be. And that's really, so give them pretty buildings, have lots of computers, but if they don't learn what they need to in a knowledge-based economy, well, it's nice short-term boost to employment, but what do we really get long-term?
Do you have any crystal ball as to why we are not succeeding educationally or how we can do better?
Well, I think part of it is socioeconomic, that you have a number of children from backgrounds where they're really coming from stressed families or, you know, areas with high crime, and teachers can only do so much. And, you know, with the problems there about nutrition, all the other things, it's just very, very difficult to succeed. It's not like television where you can instantly turn everything around and inspire people and all the negative stuff goes away. This is reality. And, you know, when you have an economy like Rhode Island that's not doing all that great, certainly the best we have, you tend to get that where people, you know, are not as highly educated, things of that nature. And I don't think we're really dealing with adult literacy as well as we could. There's a lot of areas. We can do better. We need to do better. But, hey, reelect incumbents and just keep going the way it's going.
The higher education bond, there is a it's a building at RIC and a building at URI. Oceanography area, is it?
Yep. World-class. Oceanography.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, obviously, as a URI faculty member, I'm very much in favor of that. And that's an area, though, where, you know, oceanography, we really have a comparative advantage. We have a world-class facility and faculty, and we've got a great track record and things. It brings a lot into the state. So I really think that that's a very, very powerful thing. Just like several years ago, the engineering building where that was so run down, we had to do something. And the thought of not having much of a presence in engineering at URI scares me for how badly we'd be doing as a state. So, yeah, the education, that's investment-oriented. The K through 12 buildings, that's because we don't really allocate enough resources for depreciation to maintain things, just like our roads. So we wait till it gets horrible with 1 foot off the cliff and, oh, charge it, right, without having a mechanism to make sure we don't have to do that again in 20 years.
There's one other bond issue, and that's the green economy bond. Have you had an opportunity to look at that?
No, I haven't really dealt with that too much. Certainly there are, some very nice things about a green economy, but again, it would be nice if we could really do some kind of, benefit cost analysis for that that was meaningful instead of looking at the cost of the bonds and, whatever. But this is Rhode Island, Due diligence is something that we just don't know how to do.
One of the things in the green economy bond, which I have always been very strong advocate for, is the brownfields, the money that we put into reclaiming some of these old mill buildings that might have some toxicity that we're able to turn around and make them into useful facilities that actually some of them are really beautiful to rehabilitate.
Yeah. It's nice to see a transition, things that were manufacturing-based into service-based, and we certainly have some of that around the state. Again, it's fairly expensive, and so the question is how we deal with it, and should it just be bonds, because that makes it kind of easy, put it on my charge card, or should we have more of a commitment where you have to do some of pay-as-you-go, so it forces us to really make sure we're getting our money's worth?
Are we creating a lot more debt than we should in Rhode Island?
I think right now I'm starting to get worried. We're not anywhere near a panic point, but we're racking it up pretty substantially with the school and all the other kinds of things. I think we have to really be careful, and that's why I'm not so scared or upset that PawSox left, because we don't need to be putting a bond debt for that, because interest rates are going to start rising more and more, and so servicing debt becomes more expensive, and that's not a good thing.
So we've got a couple of minutes left. I'm going to give you my $64,000 question. So President Trump and Congress put in this tax cut. And then I took a look at gas prices since he came into office. It's another dollar a gallon per gas. I've looked at average miles driven, average mileage on a car, and I figure that to be about $500 per vehicle that it's costing people in a year. Additional interest rates are rising. We are looking, because of tariffs, that car prices will probably rise. Is this just smoke and mirrors that people are being sold?
Well, it's certainly correlation, but it's not necessarily causation. I mean, car prices will be going up along with appliances and a lot of other things, and that is directly attributable to those tariffs, which are not really well thought out. They're not going to bring China to its knees on intellectual property. It was just the wrong way to go, and that's part of the reason that interest rates are popping, is inflation premiums are going up and stuff. So there are some things, gasoline to some extent because of the sanctions on Iran, but there's just other things going on as well, that are really not related to the president. So some of this is his, some is not, but, where we are in the season, if someone's in office, something good happened, therefore they did everything, which is absurd, but people are naive enough to believe that, ignorance is bliss.
Yeah. Len, that takes us to the end of the hour. I'm sorry about the phone problems we had
during
the course of this. But we will catch up in a while. It will be interesting to see how the election goes. Be interesting to see how the candidates continue to spin the economy in one way or the other. Good theater anyway.
And maybe we'll get something substantial before it ends. Who knows?
That's great. Len, thank you. And
we'll thanks for having me.
Soon. And I want to thank everybody for listening. And we will be, What's Up, Noop? Radio Edition is going to come up in just a few minutes. And so we'll catch up with you with then.
This has been the Open Forum. The views and opinions expressed are not necessarily those of station management or its advertisers. Your views and opinions are welcome at 846-1028.